And that is why you never pay attention to those whiny heinies that will try to convince you that they want this pay-per-view to suck. Oh, no Roman Reigns. No, no Brock Lesnar. This is why you cannot rely solely on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. What a fun pay-per-view tonight. Premium live event, depending on where you live. Speaking of live, something happened earlier today. Something else happened earlier today. Congratulations, Liv Morgan. She is not only your Miss Money in the Bank for 2022, but she is your new WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. And I can't help but to think that someone else is going to be waiting to greet her sooner than later, as we talked about a few weeks ago. I think Charlotte Flair makes a return, and we'll see how long Liv keeps that title. We'll talk about that. Hey, Bobby Lashley, overcoming the odds, was not the odds-on favorite to win the United States Championship. But Bobby Lashley getting that championship, theory, loses the U.S. title, but gains a briefcase. I know, everyone, there's an old Rolling Stones song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want," but this is pro wrestling. We're going to get decisions that we don't like, that we don't agree with. But one thing you could say about tonight, this was designed to help elevate some of those future stars. I love this pay-per-view. I thought it was fun. If you know me, week after week, I don't like comparing AEW to WWE. Two totally different styles, especially TV. One is TV 14, the other one is TV PG. But this goes to show you that for some, quantity is more important than quality. You know, me, I like the entertainment aspect. I don't need 4 or 5-star matches, but I will tell you this. The Usos versus the Street Profits. I know in the last 24 hours, we were making a lot of comments about how that the stipulation that the Street Profits were entitled to was that there was no stipulation. Maybe the stipulation should have been something, but what an absolute fire match that they put on. I tell you, you know, we're doing this show literally 2 minutes after Money in the Bank goes off the air. I'm sure there's going to be some comments that I think about, that some of you will think about after this recap is over. And tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m., July 3rd, for anybody that's watching this afterwards, I will be back here for the Don Tony Show. We will talk more about tonight, any fallout from it, maybe some injury updates. Shotzi Blackheart, I don't know if her head hitting the back of the ladder kind of made her off for the rest of that match, but man, I felt bad for her. You know, I you got to ignore the noise online. Oh, release her, get rid of her. Tony Khan, excuse me. The other Khan, Nick Khan, sitting ringside. He cannot be thrilled. You know, she took a nice little shot in the back of her head. But she had a rough night tonight, no question. She hit her head. If you remember the spot with Becky, she tried to do a move. I took notes, so when we get to it, I'll remember the exact spot. But she tried to jump off the left corner rope, and she landed kind of awkwardly on the mat, and the back of her head hit the edge of the ladder. I know that spot a lot of people may not have seen, but there were other spots as well, and yeah, this looked pretty freaking painful. I watched a replay of that, and it looked like that Alexa Bliss was trying to tell Shotzi something, and she went ahead and finished the move anyway. And let's hope Alexa Bliss was okay. You know, not easy to get a whole bunch of screenshots while you're taking notes and trying to enjoy the event. But something else we have to talk about tonight. I have the whole video. Now, I know if I play it in little drips and drabs throughout the show, we will have no problems here. But this is copyrighted footage, and we have to adhere to guidelines. Now, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, tonight at Money in the Bank, a cryptic video aired. And this is only one screenshot, but it was very confusing. We saw gold medals. We saw a lot of scenes that made people immediately think that Bray Wyatt is making his return. But then we had some odd things. If you looked at the video closely, it looked like some references to the Hardys. Also, I took these two screenshots. I wasn't sure first, and I actually had to go on a custom website. Now, you see back there, I have Daphne custom Georgia plates that I had made up myself. I still have about 50 of them. I think later on, you know, next month, we'll give a few away. Just not a contest, but just, you know, a memory of Daphne. I had those custom made. So I went on the website tonight and I checked to see what Texas license plates can you custom make two words together with no space. And guess what? You can. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, during that video clip, yeah, let's do, make it a little clearer. There you go. You look at it and it kind of looks like Latino Heat, Texas license plate. That is where Eddie Guerrero is buried, by the way, for those that don't know. You want to see a funeral, a video of someone visiting the grave of Eddie Guerrero, check out a channel, Lamont at Large, L-A-M-O-N-T. I love his channel, always showing support. He shouts me out once in a while as well. You could see the grave. You know, a little interesting tidbit about that grave. It has nothing to do with tonight, but I figured I'd share it. We talked about it once before. When Eddie Guerrero was first buried, Vicky's name was etched on the stone as well. Obviously, she's still with us, thank God. But it had her year of birth. But obviously, since she's still here, it doesn't have a year of passing. But she was etched on the stone next to Eddie. In years later, a new stone for Eddie was made. I have pictures of both. But to me, I think that's a little creepy for me to post. But a new stone was made for Eddie. And Vicky's name is not on it. I'm not trying to stir controversy. I would never. That's too personal for me, but, you know, to ask anybody. But little tidbit, in case anybody sees the video and says, hey, wait a minute, I thought Vicky's name was there, just so you know the details. But this was the first screenshot that I got tonight, and this was the second screenshot. And if you look at it, no, it's not L.A. Heat. It's not L.A. Knight either. See the O and the L and the A? It looks like it's Latino Heat. Can't see the sticker on the plate, but it would not surprise me if that sticker is from back in the day, retro plate. A lot of people think, based on this video, it leads to just Edge. And I'll tell you the funny thing about it. If this video is for the return of Edge, think about all those goofy reports that Edge, that WWE wanted to go a sci-fi route with Judgment Day, and Edge said no, which is laughable when you think about that by itself. And then tonight, we watched that video, and it looks like a lot of sci-fi supernatural. You know, it's pretty funny. But I'm going to play the whole segment for you tonight, but we have to do it in drips and drabs. That's the only way I could show it to you. So as you watch it, you take in a couple of clips, and you start realizing to yourself, could this be Edge? Could it be Bray Wyatt? Some people thought Gable Steveson because of the gold medal that was seen. Hell, if it was up to me, give me all of them. Start a new faction. Have him feud with Judgment Day. You know, I'm sure it would work. I thought this was a really fun pay-per-view, premium live event. Ronda Rousey, yeah, I thought that was cool that she showed respect to Liv Morgan, giving her the hug. You know, obviously this was, you know, scripted. Ronda Rousey showing no signs of turning heel, but I think we could all agree, you know, Ronda Rousey has not been the same since she returned to WWE. I don't know what it is. I mean, we look at the vignettes and we see some of the things and we can obviously, you know, she feels too scripted. You know, it feels like she's reading from lines. And yes, WWE will give bullet points, you know, but we talked about it earlier today in the predictions and we talked about it in the watch party yesterday. You know, Natty getting the age of Ronda's baby wrong. When Ronda says, well, my baby is 9 months, she's not 8 months. We don't give a shit. You know, where's that fire? I want to break you in half. You're never going to walk again. Your bazoombas are going to be where your buttocks are. You know, like, she just, that fire seems lost. She just doesn't feel like that energy is there. And I know that she wants to, but something is off. So this title change tonight, probably the best way you could have done it. Now, I don't know if people thought about it. Now this means that Liv Morgan is on SmackDown. I really wanted to see Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss become a steady tag team. So that seems out the window as of right now. But we'll talk about all the matches. We'll run it down. I'm just giving you my initial thoughts. And but I tell you, a real fun event. Very manageable. What, about 3 hours? 3 hours, 10 minutes? Can't complain about that whatsoever. But man, that Usos Street Profits match, the first half of it started off pretty Raw-ish, pretty SmackDown-ish. Didn't feel special. That second half, man, oh, this is the best match that they have ever had. And let me tell you something. I like I said, I took some notes. But I really felt good tonight for Angelo Dawkins. Angelo Dawkins, if you pay attention to social media, a lot of places on social media are talking about, oh, Montez Ford, big single star, it's about to happen, you know, he's getting jacked, and, you know, it just, you kind of feel bad for Angelo Dawkins because all the focus is on Montez Ford. When Angelo Dawkins got that hot tag towards the latter part of the match, that guy was smooth as silk and hit move after move after move after move. And it really felt like this was kind of like frustration on his part towards the IWC. Now, look, of course he loves the fact that everybody believes Montez Ford is going to be a major superstar. But, you know, I don't think he wants to feel like, hey, I'm not just the Marty Jannetty of the team. You know, he's got a lot of worth as well. And I really appreciated a lot of his offense. Go back and watch the second half of that match, especially Angelo Dawkins' work, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So, all right. We got this 5-spot from Jordan that came in. Do I think Theory will cash in on whichever babyface beats Roman Reigns? Theory is not becoming heavyweight champion anytime soon. This gives focus on Theory. Chicken shit trolling Theory is going to continue trolling now with the briefcase. He's going to show up and he's going to act like, you know, that he could cash in whenever he wants. Now, look, if Roman doesn't show up, Theory could show up with the briefcase as much as he wants. There's nobody to cash it into. But he is going to annoy the shit out of us. And I guarantee you, every time Roman Reigns makes an appearance, Theory will probably show up. But look, this is a guy that is a future star, no question. What this also does is if Theory does face John Cena at SummerSlam, now because Theory doesn't have the United States Championship, now John Cena can beat Theory and there's no championship to be lost and Theory does not lose his briefcase. So no, this was all done just to keep eyes on Theory, but in the end, I don't see Theory becoming a heavyweight champion. You got Cody, you got Drew, you got Lashley, you got those. And speaking of Lashley, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, even though we were happy for Lashley winning that championship tonight, we also realized that by WWE giving him the United States Championship, he ain't going for no heavyweight title anytime soon. So if you're cool with that, I'm cool with it as well. So, all right, let's get into the matches, shall we? Let's pull it up. WWE Money in the Bank. Oh, you know what? Before we even do that, I wanted to show you this. This was Money in the Bank 1 year ago. We were supposed to get Bianca Belair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bayley, but she had the injury, and Bayley's been out ever since. She will be back soon. We talked about it earlier today. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Roman Reigns beating Edge last year in a spectacular match that won a half an hour. Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. In the men's Money in the Bank, we have Big E, John Morrison, Ricochet, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens. On the women's side, we had Zelina Vega, Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash, and Carmella. Not too much has changed as far as roster since then. But let's talk about tonight, because that's what it's all about. Pre-show, we had Caleb Braxton, Booker T, JBL, Peter Rosenberg, and Kevin Patrick. And congratulations to Peter Rosenberg. He just got engaged, so very cool for him. One other note, Caleb Braxton. Now, of course, she could only say this for the time being. Well, when she was hyping up the men's Money in the Bank ladder match during the pre-show, she said the winner of the ladder match gets a guaranteed WWE Universal Championship match. So she's hyping it up as unified. I think that's just designed because Roman is currently, he has the belts unified. That kind of tells me that Theory may cash in that belt early, cash in the briefcase early, but I don't believe in a winning effort. But who knows down the line? I mean, the belts could end up split and then Theory attempts to cash in. I just don't see him having a championship. But we had the opening match, Lacey Evans versus Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi Blackheart, and Becky Lynch. By the way, I want these glasses that Becky Lynch had. You know, I was joking online earlier, and I said, you know, whoever, if Becky Lynch wins, I want her to dress in the Money in the Bank briefcase colors. She came out dressed in those colors, but it was a very physical match. I hope you all took notice that the fans are really behind Becky Lynch, at least in Las Vegas they are, because we had two different times tonight where Becky Lynch and Asuka were going at it in the middle of the ring, and you heard a loud, clear Becky chant. Becky, Becky, Becky. Go back and check it out. The fans were big time behind Bex. But early on, there was a lot of brawling outside the ring. Becky and Asuka started off in the ring. Raquel Rodriguez, she hits the ring and ends up landing a double suplex onto Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch on a ladder. Early on, if you go back and watch it, Raquel Rodriguez seemed a little bit off as well. She seemed a little bit confused. I'm sure nerves played a lot into that as well. Definitely had some nerves. Brian Becerra, happy anniversary, my friend. 16 months as a channel member. After the tag team unification match, he was Jeff Hardy level, but staying at home and Money in the Bank went downhill for him. Well, you know, that's your right to feel that way. I thought this event was hot. I thought this event for beginning 10, I kind of felt bad for Ronda Rousey following the Usos and the Street Profits. I'm like, how do you follow that? Well, you have Liv Morgan cash in and win the championship, but that was kind of hard to, you know, follow. But getting back to the women's match, Raquel Rodriguez early in the match seemed way off, but she picked it up after a little while. Asuka is the first to climb the ladder, but is stopped by Lacey Evans. couple of dumb moves throughout the night. Oh, and there was one moment tonight I legitimately was laughing. I will share it with you later. It had to do with the men's Money in the Bank match. I don't know if you caught a certain spot, but I started laughing. No, it's not when Omos was buried underneath the ladders. I'll tell you later. I promise you when I tell you, you'll go back and watch it, and when you see it, you'll crack out laughing. But Oscar's the first to climb the ladder. Lacey stops it, but a dumb move. Instead of pulling Oscar off the ladder, Lacey decides to climb the other ladder instead. It was kind of goofy. Becky ultimately knocks them off. But when she knocks them off, they both land on their feet. We had that happen a couple of times tonight. I don't know if you noticed that. We had several times tonight where wrestlers were on the ladder, and it's like a teeter-totter, and they're knocked off, and they're supposed to kind of hit the rope to give a little bit of effect, or maybe hit a ladder, and they would just land on their feet. Moss, towards the end, I was a little concerned for. You go back and you watch it, when Seth Rollins knocked Madcap Moss off the ladder, his landing on the ropes looked brutal. And then Seth hit him with the curb stomp. If you look like at Moss's head, I hope Moss is okay. Seriously. That looks scary. Don't forget, remember Saudi Arabia? Wasn't it Saudi Arabia when Moss landed on his head? And we were all really, really scared for him at that moment. You go back and you look at that curb stomp right after him, like, bouncing off the rope. I was a little concerned for Moss tonight. So, Lacey Evans, Shotzi Blackheart, trading punches. They keep climbing the ladder, keep knocking each other off the ladder. One point, Lacey Evans almost had the briefcase stopped by Raquel Rodriguez. Liv Morgan climbs it. Raquel dumps them both off. And then we ended up having Liv powerbombing Lacey Evans to a huge pop. Obviously, the crowd was big time behind Liv Morgan. Becky Lynch absent for about 5 minutes during the early stages of this match. She ends up back in. She knocks Shotzi off the ladder. Becky climbs. Shotzi knocks her off the ladder. And then the scary move that I was talking about earlier. Shotzi attempted a leg drop off, I believe, the middle rope. And when she landed on the mat, Becky moved out of dodge. But she whipped back and her head hit the edge of the ladder. This was early on in the match. So I have a feeling we may find out later on that that leg drop might have knocked Shotzi for a loop, and she was just on instinct. Now, look, on one side, we could give her credit for toughing it out, but on the flip side, and I'm not trying to be cruel here, you have a match like that, you don't want someone just working on adrenaline. If she got knocked for a loop, I know you don't want to be taken out of that match, but she should have been taken out of that match. Because she's throwing people off of ladders. She hit that move on Alexa Bliss that I showed you the photo earlier. If you're off and you're not all there, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home, you know, you could injure someone else. And it's not Shotzi's fault. It's got to be the WWE officials that have to make that call. I always think back to Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy, you know, when, and they did that dumb stipulation that if Matt Hardy loses, he's out of AEW. This is when he first started there. If they would not have had that stipulation, the match would have been over at that point. No one online wanted to admit that because everybody's trying to rub elbows. You know the deal. But Matt Hardy was in no condition to continue. But because they did that stipulation, if they would have called the match, it would have been stupid. Why would they make an exception that, oh, Matt Hardy lost, but he could stay? You know, they continued the match because of it. And Matt Hardy told the referee that he was fine. That's not Matt Hardy's call to say. How many of you out there ever got hurt playing sports or something else, especially for those that were tremendously ego-driven in the earlier days, like me, with a very, just stupid, ignorant, you know, young teenage Italian. You know, you're woozy all night. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. And you know you're in no condition. So Shotzi has that spot that was very, very scary. Raquel wedges a ladder between the ring and the announcer's table. We had a little bit of a faux pas there as well. Raquel was supposed to lay Asuka on the ladder. She tried to pick her up bare strength, and she couldn't. And good for them to improvise and kind of did like a hurricanrana, but the fans picked up on it, and they were not thrilled. Asuka teasing a leg, armbar submission, but eventually Asuka gets on the ladder, and then here comes Becky climbing another ladder outside the ring. The crowd is once again going nuts for Becky, chanting for Becky. She does a leg drop off the ladder, and Asuka is pretty much out for a majority of the remainder of the match. So towards the end of the match, we had Shotzi and Raquel brawling one-on-one. Lacey Evans and Liv Morgan are on one ladder. Shotzi and Raquel are on the other ladder. Becky shows up, knocks both ladders off, and then she climbs the ladder herself. And here comes Liv Morgan. Liv sets up a second ladder. She climbs up. Becky pushes the ladder. And instead of Liv falling off the ladder into the side rope, Liv sticks out her boot and catches the rope before the ladder went too far, and she pushed herself backwards. Really, really good spot. I mean, you don't see that spot often, if ever. So Liv catches the rope, pushes her back. Her ladder is back standing up. She knocks Becky Lynch off the ladder, grabs the briefcase. And as I showed you earlier, Liv Morgan is your Money in the Bank winner. Congratulations. A lot of emotions, obviously. She's been working her ass off. There's no question Liv Morgan has been working her ass off. The fans are solidly behind Liv. She gets the briefcase. Later on, she's interviewed. Do you know when you're going to cash it in and who you're going to cash it in? And she's very emotional. She says, look, for tonight, I just want to celebrate. So we thought. All right, next match tonight. Only six matches, so we should be able to run through these pretty quickly. Theory versus Lashley for the United States Championship. Jesus. Go back and watch that match. That Las Vegas crowd was so into Bobby Lashley. I mean, look, they are not happy with Theory either. A lot of Theory sucks chants. But that crowd was so into this match. I mean, look, you know, there is go-away heat. I mean, we all know what that is. And for a while, I think a lot of people thought that Theory had go-away heat. When you have go-away heat, it doesn't matter who you're rooting for. You know, you lose that energy getting into the match. This crowd was so into this match. I was taken back by how hardcore they were into this match. And that's a compliment. So early on in the match, we hear loud Bobby chants, and then we hear let's go Bobby chants. Lashley early on with a beautiful looking choke slam. Theory, as we teased in the predictions, chicken shit. Keep rolling out of Dodge. Keep trying to avoid Lashley at all costs. Theory gets the upper hand early on, shoves Lashley into the ring post. Getting loud Theory sucks chants. Lashley puts Theory on his shoulders, gets the upper hand, rams him into the post. Back and forth match for the majority of it. Theory recovers, gets the upper hand on Lashley a little bit, and then hits a beautiful looking left hook on Lashley for a two. By the way, Lashley's mouth was split open pretty good. Some people thought it was from that left hook that Theory gave him. I think it was when Lashley was dumped headfirst in the turnbuckle. If you go back and you look at it, it almost looks like he might have bit his lip or something, you know, in his mouth. I mean, it looked kind of, you'll see it. As soon as he hits that turnbuckle, it looks like that's where he got it. I could be wrong, but it sure looked that way. So after a few minutes of Theory offense, Lashley regains the momentum. Theory attempts a dive into the ring onto Bobby Lashley, but he's caught into a jackhammer for a 2.5. And then Theory throws Lashley into that corner turnbuckle. Theory with a dropkick for a 2. Once again, we get that tremendous loud Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. And look, the odds-on favorite to win tonight was Theory, or at least retaining his championship. Look, my prediction was Bobby was going to win, but I did not think he was winning his championship. I thought Theory was either going to get disqualified or get himself counted out. But towards the end of the match, Theory hits a spear after raking Lashley's eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, God, here's the finish. And it was. But Theory attempts his own finisher, but Bobby Lashley reverses it, locks on the Hurt Lock. Listen to that crowd erupt when he hit the landed the Hurt Lock. Theory taps out, and Bobby Lashley is your United States champion. Now, at this point, I got the Money in the Bank match wrong. I did say Lashley was going to win, but he wasn't winning the championship. So now I'm 0-2, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm totally cool with that. Sometimes when you can't predict a winner, or if you're way off, that's good. That's good. You know, when wrestling is not as predictable, that's when it's the most fun. You know, we were so sure that Seth and Becky, or one or the other, was going to win the briefcase. For the women's side, it was coming down. I mean, Liv was the inspirational pick, but it was pretty much Asuka. Some people thought Lacey Evans. Some people thought Becky. Some people thought Liv. But on the men's side, almost everybody thought it was Seth Rollins. The predictions contest that we did, almost everybody was Seth Rollins. I mean, of course, we didn't know Theory was going to be in the match. But when wrestling is wrong, when you get your predictions wrong, sometimes that's when it's the most fun. So Fly picked Omos. Hey, props to you, man, if you picked Omos. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, brother. Omos did fucking great tonight. He did good, with the exception of one moment. Yes, the comedy moment that I'm going to talk about involves Omos. Hang tight for a few moments. All right, so we go to the next match. I thought this was a letdown. Bianca Belair retaining the Raw Women's Championship over Carmella. Now, look, that prediction, everybody had. Everybody and their mother predicted Bianca. I'm not saying that that was off. This match was very, very short, very abrupt. I don't know if you noticed it, but Carmella, now remember, Las Vegas, casinos, prostitution is legal. I believe it is. So please, I don't want anybody to get really upset at this. But as Carmella is walking down the rampway before her match, somebody made it rain and threw a whole bunch of fake dollars at Carmella. I know it's disrespectful. I would never do that. Maybe to her, but I would never do that to anyone else. But it was a little bit funny as she was walking down the rampway. And we had a couple of scripted funny one-liners from Corey Graves. When Bianca decked Carmella in the mouth, Corey Graves is saying, she's not even on my dental insurance yet. When Bianca hit the KOD, Corey's like, what am I going to do with this case of Dom Perignon? But maybe Rhea Ripley is not yet ready to return? Don't know. Because tonight, after Bianca Belair won, Carmella got the last laugh. She attacked Bianca. So this feud is not finished yet. Maybe it just bleeds into Raw Monday night. That could very well be. I don't see Bianca versus Carmella at SummerSlam. I don't think that is the case at all. Bernard Scott, shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the kind words. Hope everybody's having a good night. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. For my Canadian friends, once again, happy Canada Day. For those in the United States, happy 4th of July. Much love. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And, you know, just hope everybody's doing well. Seriously. But we're not seeing Bianca and Carmella at SummerSlam. No way. I think every match at SummerSlam is going to have that WrestleMania feel to it. You could see that coming. It's not going to be Carmella. So maybe we get a rematch on Monday's Raw, but I don't see it going much further beyond that. They do work good together, but tonight's match was a little bit abrupt. Why are we... Whoa, hold on, hold on. Why do I see the men's... We got to get the Usos. Hold on. Are we out of place a little bit here? What happened here? Hold on. Why am I seeing like multiple... That's not good. That is not good. That's okay. We fixed that. Let me... Because I have to show respect for the Usos tonight. Okay, okay, I got it. I got it right here. Okay. There we go. There we go. No, John, I didn't screw up. For some reason, my software is just showing the men's Money in the Bank match graphic, but doesn't mean I can't manually do it myself. I'm actually doing that while I'm answering your thing, so I'm getting them all ready to go. All right. Men's tag team unification match. Unified tag match. Usos retain over the Street Profits. Listen, as I said earlier, we were questioning the last 24 hours. What happened to the stipulation? Honestly, probably the best decision that they made. Didn't need a stipulation for this match. Any stipulation, I think, would have made this worse than what it was. You already have ladders into play. We already had tables into play tonight. We didn't really have chairs that much tonight. But still, there was no need for a stipulation. And, you know, Michael Cole with the genius question early in the night, what do the Street Profits have to do to win the tag titles tonight? Here's my answer. Come up with a good stipulation. Have the Usos be blindfolded and have their hands tied behind their back. That would be my stipulation. If I got to choose, you have to be blindfolded with your hands and your feet tied. And then let's see what you do, Zach Gowans. What rhymes with Zach? Okay. This match, as I said earlier, the first half of it, pretty standard, pretty mundane, pretty watered down, did not feel special. Holy shit. Early on in the match, Montez Ford was dominated by the Usos. And the whole gist of it was Angelo Dawkins trying to get the hot tag. Once Montez Ford got that hot tag on Angelo Dawkins, this match turned into, I personally feel, tag team match of the year candidate so far. Look, we're already in July. Half the year is over. That match we got tonight is definitely worthy. I'm not saying it will be tag team match of the year in wrestling, but it should be in the top 10 or top 5. That match was fire. It got numerous this is awesome chants. We got a whole bunch of holy shit chants as well. Angelo Dawkins, you know, diving over the top rope onto both Usos. He looked so freaking good with his hot tag. And it made me feel good. It put a smile on my face. All I kept thinking about was the social media stuff, kind of diminishing Angelo Dawkins' value. So we get a double blockbuster by the Street Profits on the Jimmy Uso, only for a two count. A lot of people thought, holy shit, Street Profits may actually be getting this tonight. I got news for you. For the last couple of weeks, no joke, for the last couple of weeks, one of the most repeated question that a lot of you have asked me is, who do I think is going to dethrone the Usos? And I didn't know. And I said it might be a team that's not even a tag team on the main roster right now. After tonight, I think the Street Profits are that team. This match was so freaking good. And you know it's leading to SummerSlam based on what the finish was. We had Angelo Dawkins and Jimmy Uso with a slugfest in the middle of the ring. You know, it's too played out, too many matches that do it, but the crowd, as long as they keep getting into it, you're going to see AEW and WWE Impact and everyone else keep repeating it. We had a double super kick onto Montez Ford, but only for a two count. Montez Ford ultimately gets back in the match and throws both guys outside the ring, and here we go once again. Montez Ford running from one side to the other corner of the ring, jumps over the ropes, over the corner post, onto both Usos, and they're pointing out this guy has put on about 25 pounds of muscle. He hasn't lost a step. He just, his elevation is still as high as it can be. And the crowd is going nuts. They're going nuts. Montez Ford with a frog splash onto Jey Uso, but Jimmy breaks it up at 2 3/4. Then we get the end of the match. Both teams staring down each other in the middle of the ring. After that battle, it reminded me of the final round of a boxing match. You go to the middle right before the bell rings, or the bell rings and you're just in the middle, that stare down for a brief second, and then there they go. Jimmy Uso and Angelo Dawkins brawl outside. Unfortunately, Angelo is tossed over the guardrail. The Usos are back in the ring with Montez Ford, and they hit 3D for the win. But there's some controversy. We get a reverse camera angle after the match is over, and we see that Montez Ford's shoulder is totally off of the mat. Referee couldn't see it. So Montez Ford with his shoulder off the mat, and Montez visibly pissed off, and, you know, they're playing it off on TV. So you know a rematch is in order, and it's going to be SummerSlam. SummerSlam's only 3 weeks away, friends. It's only 3 weeks away. SummerSlam's in 3 weeks, not 4, 5, or 6, 3. So you literally only have 3 Raws left, 3 SmackDowns left before you got SummerSlam. It's going to be here before you realize it. So if this Friday on SmackDown, Adam Pearce, or maybe tomorrow on Raw, Adam Pearce announces a rematch at SummerSlam, there's only 2 more Raws before SummerSlam. So this is a match that's going to happen. And as of right now, I would not be surprised if the Street Profits win those tag titles at SummerSlam. Spectacular match. Loved every minute of the second half, because the first half was kind of dull. We get the Kevin Owens video package, which was very well done. Now we get the cryptic video. You get the cryptic video. I'm going to show you a couple of clips. We'll play a little bit here and there. Like I said, I really can't do too much. Now, pay very close attention on your video screen or your phone. I want you to see this is the very beginning of it. Okay, so far, you know, it looks like just some locks and candles. Okay, we'll go back to it. Nothing so far. Kind of just feels dark. You know, could be anybody. I'll show you a little bit more. All right, there we go. We got a cross. We got gates. Now we start getting some teasers. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Look, when I first saw it, I thought Bray Wyatt as well. But as the video goes on, as you will see, see, I can't rewind it. Oh, yes, I can. Maybe I can. Let me see. Let me see if I can rewind it. Hold on. You're going to see something. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. You're going to see something that says Hardy. Trying to find the spot. It's not that easy when you got, I think it's this spot right here. Let's go back. Let's see. Look at it closely. See? That spot right there looked like it said Hardy. I'm going to try to stop right on it. Hold on. We're getting to it. There you go. Was that Hardy or is that Dudley? Something we keep going. You know, you could pause it and you could watch some of it back. We'll go back to it. Those are Hardy gloves. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, because the more you watch it, the more you feel it's Edge, not Bray Wyatt. But as I said tonight, give me a whole faction. Give me a whole faction. We'll see. We'll see. Because there's a lot of rumors about Bray Wyatt making his return. And look, I'm not going to judge Edge. But if you actually look at this video, the person that's walking around looks a little bit shorter and looks a little bit, I don't want to say heavy, because Bray Wyatt is no longer heavy. But if you look at the person walking around, the person looks a little stocky. All right, moving on. We got Ronda Rousey retaining the championship over Natalya. We've talked about this for quite some time now. Ronda Rousey, something is off. I think Ronda Rousey realizes it. WWE obviously realized it. And with Charlotte Flair making a return, fans do not want Charlotte Flair versus Ronda going into SummerSlam. We're already getting the repeat of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So something needed to change here. Now, obviously, the Liv Morgan that was around when Charlotte was here last, remember, there was some interaction between Charlotte Flair and Liv Morgan. How you like me now? So with Charlotte returning, you know, that could very well be her opponent at SummerSlam. You know, I know a lot of people were reporting that Charlotte Flair is returning in August. I talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's going to be much sooner than that. You don't think that WWE's not going to want to bring Charlotte Black back for SummerSlam? Hell yeah. This match tonight, to me, it was stuck in the mud. Ronda Rousey got, you know, nice amount of cheers, but also got her share of boos. You know, we had, you know, a couple of submission teases during this match. Ronda Rousey teasing the sharpshooter. Ultimately, Natalya gets to work on Ronda's leg a little bit, and that was the story of this. Ronda Rousey's leg was injured. She wasn't knocked unconscious. Her leg was injured. So Natalya trying to put the sharpshooter on Ronda Rousey, trying to get Ronda Rousey to submit, but instead Ronda Rousey locks on an armbar submission. So that was too painful for Natalya to continue. Natalya taps out. And Ronda Rousey is still your SmackDown Women's Champion, but she is injured. Her leg is messed up. And next thing you know, Liv Morgan's music hits. And if you look at Ronda Rousey, she actually says, fuck. Or no, I think she might have said shit. She was not happy to hear Liv Morgan's music. Liv Morgan comes out. Crowd is feeling it. Giving me Dolph Ziggler vibes. She runs in the ring. She's cashing in that briefcase. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You can tell she's cashing that son of a bitch in. She gives it to the referee. Everybody is losing their shit. Holy shit, she's cashing it in. It's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan. And almost immediately, Ronda Rousey puts the ankle lock on Liv. And I thought, honestly, it's over. It's over. Liv Morgan, as much as she's improved, you can't have Ronda Rousey's ankle lock now seem inferior. But because Ronda can't get a lot of weight on her leg, the commentators, to their credit, are showing that she can't completely lock it on. And Liv is trying to break it, trying to grab the ropes, trying to break it. Ronda gets a little bit of leverage, but then out of nowhere, Liv Morgan with the roll up. And she rolled her up so hard, you pretty much knew Ronda was not kicking out of it. Liv Morgan is your new SmackDown Women's Champion. You know, when I saw that, you know what I immediately thought of? No joke. I thought of Ruby Riott, Ruby Soho. Somewhere, if you think that titles don't matter, and wrestling, you know, is just entertainment, I guarantee you somewhere Ruby Soho was bawling tears. Her other, what was her other partner's name that was in the Riot Squad? Just drawing a blank right now. You know, she was crying like a baby. And Naomi showed a lot of love for Liv earlier when she won the briefcase. She showed it online. Sarah Logan, thank you very much, everybody. Sarah Logan, you look at the reaction in the wrestling world to Liv Morgan winning that championship, and you understand that, yeah, you know, people may think that WWE is this big evil machine. That doesn't mean you can't show love and acknowledgement to your fellow wrestlers who do accomplish, who do accomplish. A lot of people may feel that WWE's women's championship is shit. They may think the titles don't matter. Say that to Liv Morgan. Say that to Ruby Soho. Say that to everybody else who absolutely loved what they saw tonight. It was a wonderful thing. After the match was over, you know, we get a little bit of a stare down. I think a lot of people thought the possibility of Ronda Rousey turning heel. I think that would be a little bit too much with Charlotte Flair returning. Having Ronda and Charlotte as heels, I think that would be a bit much. And don't get me wrong, I will not be surprised if we see some tag team matches with Liv and Ronda teaming up. But sign of respect, Ronda leaves the ring selling her leg. And give Liv credit as well. Liv was selling the ankle lock after Ronda even left the ring. So everything, telling you, this gave me Dolph Ziggler vibes. When we did the prediction show earlier, somebody asked me, what was my favorite cash-in of all time? And it's probably the Dolph Ziggler one because it was so unexpected. And the way that crowd reacted, you just felt it. And I was always a Dolph Ziggler fan, still am. This tonight gave me Dolph Ziggler vibes. This was good. This was good. Now, you knew the way this night is gone. You knew that it's only a matter of time that we would have some type of a letdown. All right, more video. There we go. A little more video. Let's press play. There we go. Wait, whoa, hold on. What the hell did I just... Oh, I... Stupid me. I showed a picture. Okay, there we go. We got some lights. We got candles. I'm pausing it to try to find something good. See, more, now that kind of looks like Edge's hand. That could be anybody. See, you got to go back and you got to look. There's your Hardy. That's the Hardy thing, right? Isn't that a Dudley's sunglasses, eyeglasses? Isn't that a Dudley eyeglass? Ah, that is a beautiful freak. We got to enlarge that one, man. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't stop. Yeah, there we go. I'm literally holding the mouse, paused on it. There you go. There's the giveaway. There's the money shot, everybody. I think that's the Dudley glasses and the Hardy headband. This is for Edge. This is for Edge. Now, again, if we could somehow incorporate Bray Wyatt with this as well, I am totally fine with that. But yeah, this looks like it is definitely Edge, his return. And again, it's pretty funny because, yeah, oh, look, Latino Heat, look, there you go. There you go. That was Latino Heat. There you go. I know, look, I have to do the clips in clumps so we don't have any issues with copyright. But I think we get the gist of it. This is the return of Edge. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, so now we get to the main event. Men's Money in the Bank ladder match, Riddle versus Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, Omos, Sheamus, Madcap Moss, and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn coming out with the Bloodline shirt. He is saying on camera, for you, Big Oos. No, he did not win. He will not be sacrificing that briefcase to the Bloodline. But we get a surprise. We get a freaking surprise. Adam Pearce, he doesn't need to qualify. He could get inserted. Why he didn't just say that Mr. McMahon requested this person to be added. That would have triggered so many people online. I thought Mr. McMahon was out of power. Yeah, he still had a creative. You want to rub it in. It's like an open wound. You want to rub salt on it. Adam Pearce should have just simply said, Mr. McMahon has instructed me that we are adding an additional person. And it's theory. So now you're thinking to yourself, ah, shit. This son of a bitch could possibly win Money in the Bank. And sure enough, he did. Early on in the match, Omos is taking out bodies. He's taking everybody out. Sheamus tries to take out Omos. Nope. Seth tries to take him out. Nope. Riddle. Nope. Moss. Nope. Drew McIntyre. Yep. By the way, Sami Zayn hiding. He wants nothing to do with Omos. Riddle takes out Rollins early on with the bro bomb, but Sami then enters the ring, chucks him out of the ring. Sami and Madcap Moss go at it for a little bit. Riddle and Moss climb the ladder. Opposite sides, Omos takes them both out. Omos chokeslams Theory. Early on, Omos looking pretty damn good. Anybody out there that says Omos sucked tonight is just looking to bash WWE. But there was one moment that made me laugh. I mean, I literally watched it back twice and was laughing out loud. You got to go back and see it. Early on in the match, after Omos chokeslams Theory, Omos teases that he's climbing the ladder for the first time to get the briefcase. You got to go back and you watch this. I promise you, you'll laugh your ass off. Omos is on the second step. There's like 10 to 12 steps on a ladder. He's only on the second step. He's all the way down here. He's on the second step. Moss and Drew McIntyre are in the ring. Moss is trying to push the ladder sideways to knock Omos off. He can't. Omos is too big. So Drew McIntyre gets the other side of the ladder, and they're both pushing the ladder to knock Omos off. The problem was, Omos was only on the second step. I swear to God, when he knocked Omos off the ladder, his feet went down like 6 inches. He went like this. It's the funniest thing. You got to go back and you watch it. They knock Omos off the ladder, but he's only on the second step. He fell off. It's like a little kid. You know what it's like? It's like getting off a bus. And you get off the school bus, there's like this much off the floor, and you're on the bottom step, and you just like jump off. That's, oh my God, you got to see it. It made my night. I watched it twice. Like, no, they I don't know. Is Omos scared of heights? If he's legit scared of heights, they should have played it into the storyline. He literally, oh my God, I promise you, go back and see. I was looking for somebody online to put the video clip up. Nothing. Nothing. I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it. You got to go check it out. So anyway, right after this, they knock Omos out of the ring. And then everybody throws chairs on Omos, except for Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is smart enough. He's in the ring setting up a ladder. He wants to climb the ladder. So once they realize that Seth Rollins isn't in the ring, everybody changes their focus. And they get back in the ring. Theory goes at it with Rollins a little bit. Theory teases getting the briefcase. Moss stops him. Sami Zayn gets involved. And then Moss powerbombs Sami Zayn onto a ladder. And that looked pretty stiff. Go back and watch it. That was in a corner. Sami took like a nice spill on that ladder. Drew McIntyre climbs the ladder. He's knocked off by Sheamus, who then hits white noise on Drew McIntyre. He then hits a Hangman DDT. Riddle lands a Hangman DDT onto Sheamus, but then is dumped neck first by Omos. Omos picks him up, just dumps him. Everyone, once again, takes turns on beating on Omos. We then get outside the ring, and people are still trying to get at Omos. Omos is leaning over the edge of the outside of the ring, the ring apron. And here's Seth Rollins standing on the apron, and he hits a curb stomp onto Omos. Looked really, really good. Then everybody clears out the announcer's table. Every person in the match picks up Omos. Crowd freaking loved it. Omos is 400 pounds. They picked up Omos. Everybody is holding him up in the air, and they put him through a table. So Omos, he's done. Stick a fork in him, he's done. Crowd is chanting, holy shit, this is awesome. Crowd freaking loved it. We did get a stupid moment during the match. Sheamus supposedly is stuck underneath the ladder. Now, you got to picture this. I don't have a screenshot, but Sheamus is on the, you know, you got a ladder like this, okay? Got a ladder like this. Sheamus is acting like he's stuck under the bottom of the ladder, and here comes Drew climbing up here. Now, if you just think about science, with Drew being on this side, there would not be enough weight on this side to hold Sheamus down. So Sheamus is acting like he can't get out, and Drew starts climbing the ladder. But then here comes Butch. Butch stops Drew. He attempts a sleeper. Drew tries to climb the ladder a little bit. Butch is still too annoying. So now when Drew gets off the ladder, oh, look, I can get free. Sheamus gets free, hits a knee onto Drew, but Butch seemed to get the brunt of it. Sheamus climbs the ladder, and then Drew tries to climb the ladder as well. He drops Sheamus, hits a claymore on Butch. Butch is now out for the count. Drew once again tries to climb the ladder. Sheamus stops him. Now we're getting to the end of the match. And I'm thinking, where the hell is Rollins out of all of this? Drew and Sheamus are climbing the ladder, and here comes Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn dumps Drew and Sheamus off the ladder. So they're pretty much out of it. Sami Zayn climbs the ladder, but he's kind of prematurely celebrating that he's about to win. It just like kind of pauses, takes his time. And unfortunately, that was his demise. Moss stops him. And then Rollins takes out Moss. Like I said earlier, it looked pretty brutal. Moss landed on the rope, looked like a little whiplash, and then sets curb stomp. Go watch it back in slow motion. I hope Moss is okay. Hope he didn't get banged up at all. Looked kind of brutal. So now Rollins climbs the ladder. Riddle grabs another ladder that's even higher than the one that's in the ring. Riddle climbs the other ladder. Riddle and Rollins are battling back and forth. Rollins, unfortunately, teasing that he's getting the briefcase, he could grab it. Riddle's too far away. But Rollins trying to grab the briefcase, can't actually hold on to it. And then Riddle, with one of the most amazing moves of the night, hits an RKO from the top of the ladder onto Seth Rollins. So now you realize that Rollins is out of it. So now Riddle gets his composure, and he starts climbing the ladder slowly. Crowd is chanting, holy shit. They're going nuts. They think Riddle is actually going to win this. Unfortunately, we all forgot about Theory. Now, the other guys were already laid out, so they're done. Theory climbs the other side of the ladder. He's going at it with Riddle. Unfortunately, the slugfest didn't look as brutal as it should have, and Theory gets the upper hand and kind of gets a shot on Riddle and then just pushes him off the ladder. Felt a little bit underwhelming, but Theory pushes him off the ladder, and now the air is let out of the boom. Oh, fuck. Theory grabs the briefcase. Theory is your Money in the Bank winner. Crowd is not happy. Can't have everything that you want. Theory is obviously going to be an annoying bastard with that briefcase. But again, this is wrestling. This is entertainment. It's not always supposed to give you the outcome that you desire. But overall tonight, that event was a hell of a lot of fun. Hell of a lot of fun. AS7607, creative giveth, and Vince McMahon taketh away. Well, you know what? It actually is kind of the opposite. Vince McMahon taketh away the championship from Theory, but he giveth the briefcase instead. So, fun pay-per-view, premium live event, depending on where you live. Some of you are saying you thought Riddle was going to get it. I honestly thought Rollins was getting it. You heard my predictions earlier. I could picture that guy showing up on Raw dressed in lime green, the colors of the briefcase, just walking around doing his goofy laugh with the briefcase. You know, I'm not going to do my Rollins impersonation. I'm tired. We did a prediction show early this morning. I got to get up early tomorrow. Then we got a show tomorrow night. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give this event tonight a 9. Didn't need Roman Reigns. Didn't need Brock Lesnar. This was, for what was advertised and what we got, even though some of the outcome we may not have liked, this was solid from top to bottom. The Usos and the Street Profits with arguably top 5 tag team match of the year, maybe top 2 or 3. The men's Money in the Bank delivered. The women's Money in the Bank match delivered. The women's title matches, a little underwhelming. Bianca and Carmella was kind of underwhelming. Ronda and Natalia, I think we got what we expected to get. You know what? I think a 9 is a little too high. I'll give it 8.5. Because those two women's matches were a little bit underwhelming, I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10. Thought it was a fun pay-per-view. Very, very strong. And I hope you all enjoyed it as well. My favorite match of the night. Boy, I'll tell you, man. The men's ladder match was a hell of a lot of fun, despite the outcome. I got to give it to the Usos and the Street Profits. The first half of that match, I felt like I was watching Raw. But the story that those four guys told afterwards, not only was it spectacular, but after all of this convo, as of right now, I think the Street Profits can legitimately win those titles at SummerSlam. That shows you how much they convinced me tonight and convinced others tonight. The match was that freaking good. So my favorite match of the night is the tag match. My least favorite match of the night, believe it or not, I'm going to give it to Bianca versus Carmella. Natty versus Ronda, it didn't do much for me, but it set up Liv Morgan's win. So even though the match itself may have been a little bit underwhelming, the storyline led to Liv Morgan becoming champion. Whether people want to say that she's ready to be women's champion, a legitimate, viable women's champion, that's up for debate. Me, I don't have a problem with it. But Bianca versus Carmella felt extremely underwhelming tonight for me. Official thump, if Riddle would have won, we can't forget that Riddle couldn't have battled for the titles as long as Roman has those belts because he lost to Roman. That's a very good point. We talked about loopholes with Riddle. Obviously, this is pro wrestling. This is entertainment. We could have had a simple storyline where Adam Pearce checks with the board of directors and they said, Riddle, you have your shot. You won the briefcase, you have your shot. It's as simple as that. You know, that's why I'm not trying to be nasty, but I kind of laugh at people online. Oh, I thought there was no roster split. Oh, I thought there was a roster split. Oh, I thought there wasn't guaranteed rematches. The fuck up. This is entertainment. It's entertainment. You can change shit as much. Look at Rampage Friday night. I made a couple of comments during the watch party. I was like, wait a minute. What's the sense of this countdown clock when it seemed like some people It took 3 minutes or 4 minutes for them to hit the ring, and some people it was like 30 seconds. They did so much editing that you're watching this Rampage Rumble on TV, and somebody's coming out literally 40 seconds after someone else, and then someone else is out there for like 3 minutes without a countdown. You know, that's, you know, so on TV you could say, oh, what the fuck, man? I thought it was every 2 minutes. Why is this guy coming? We don't need to overanalyze it that much. Tonight was fun, but I agree with you. Storyline-wise, that would have been hard to explain with Riddle. But look, one thing is for certain. Riddle keeps dedicating everything for Randy, and he keeps failing. And he is extremely obsessed with Randy. The more he does that, the more I say to myself, Randy Orton is going to RKO his ass. Would it happen in time for SummerSlam? I don't know. But way back when I said, man, wouldn't that be something if Riddle were to turn on Randy? Maybe Randy comes back and he's like, Riddle, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate how much you care. But worry about yourself. Don't think about me. You know, we're not a team anymore. Move on. And maybe that makes Riddle just snap. It's like a bitter breakup. You know, like somebody is so obsessed into their partner and that person's like, look, I don't love you. I don't want to be with you. Go find someone else. Leave me alone. That could fucking make Riddle snap. We will see. We will see. So, with that said, wow, earlier we did 75 minutes. It looks like we're going to do exactly 75 minutes now. So I'm going to jet out of here. In the comment section, let me know what was your favorite match of the night and least favorite match of the night. Let me know if you think that it's Edge. I think it's got to be Edge. I think the question is it just Edge? Is he going to come back with a faction? Could they make it work with a Bray Wyatt return? Could it be a new brood? So let me know what you think. This is not a ploy just to get you to write comments on my stats and my... No, I'd love to hear what your reactions are. So let me know. Now, don't forget, you know, if you're around tomorrow night, Sunday night, July 3rd, 8.05 p.m., I will be live right here for the Don Tony Show. We will talk about WWE signing Rey Mysterio's younger brother. I kind of did pretty good with the Photoshop. We were talking about it in a watch party yesterday. I'm like, do you think it'll look goofy if I put Logan with the Rey Mysterio mask on and I could just like use a play on Elias? Like, hey, he signed Rey Mysterio's younger brother. And some people are like, oh, I think they were being polite to tell me, no, nah, I don't think it's a good idea. It was either that, everybody, or Maximum Male Models. So, yeah, tomorrow night we'll talk about Maximum Male Models. Oh, I promise you, anybody that goes back with me to old Don Tony, you know, the Don Tony that I would probably get my ass in a crazy amount of trouble, you know, if I did talked and acted like I did 15 years ago. We're going to talk about Joey Ryan being fired from Disney. Not only do I have video of the ride that Joey Ryan was hosting, but I cut it down to 1 minute in length. And I'm going to voice over some of what you see. And it's pretty fucking hilarious. You see apes. You see elephants squirting water out of their nose. And just picture a long, thick trunk blowing water out of its nose. Could you picture Joey Ryan on the Jungle Cruise, emceeing everyone? He's looking at the fat lady in the front row. Look at Joey the elephant. He's gushing water out of his thick, hard trunk. You want to make out? Oh my God. It's so freaking creepy to think that this guy, they're riding in the middle of nowhere. He could have just anchored and went into one of those bullshit Disney caves and could have, oh man. Oh, wait till you see the ride that he, just picture Joey Ryan sucking on a lollipop. And he's like, look at those apes over there. They're about to mate. Want to make out? Oh, God. Ew. Yeah, we'll talk about Marseille tomorrow. I'm not calling Mace Marseille. I said it yesterday and I'll repeat it. They got to double his name. They got to double his name. When he comes out, no, not my name is Marseille. He's got to be like the, to me, it's like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. He's got to be Marseille. And we'll talk about Monsieur. We have fun tomorrow night. I promise you. 8:05 start time. On your way out tonight, if you enjoyed today's show, you could do yours truly a solid. Hit that thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. We've been stuck on 30,200 for quite some time. I know most of you out there, you know, you mingle, you mix between audio only and video over here. I don't expect everybody in droves, you know, but if you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. It's free. And if you know anyone out there that you think would like the channel, let them know about it. So I am out of here. Want to make out? Oh, God. Oh, man. Go look at the synopsis. Oh, we're going to talk about more sausage making. The sausage making with Bailey was pretty funny today. Bailey, I'll leave you with this. Bailey posts a video of the performance center. She's back in the performance center training. We showed you the pictures earlier of her and Sasha at Epcot this week. So she posts video of the performance center. I see exclusive breaking news. Pay for my news today. We got an exclusive on Bailey. And I checked out the article, and all the article says is that we have learned that Bailey is training for a return. We just watched the fucking video on her social media of the performance center. Breaking news, everybody. Bailey is training for a return. That's sausage making. So DHV says that I missed his super chat earlier. Holy shit. I didn't see this. My bad. Kiny, you know, did I miss more than one? No, I missed yours. Okay, I'll finish it with that. Thank you for letting me know. And I'm sorry that you actually had to get my attention that way. I honestly didn't realize. You know why I didn't realize it? Because we did a show earlier today. And anybody that asked questions earlier, it's the same date. So it kind of looks like it's part of earlier today's show. DHV, Smoking Tree, says, kind of clunky cashin. Say that fast 10 times. Kind of clunky cashin for Liv. Fruit roll-up was lackluster. I just wish she could have hit the oblivion. Also, why wouldn't the Usos help Sammy win? Because they don't want Sammy in the bloodline. It's all in Sammy's head. You remember on Monday's Raw when I said that Miz and Logan Paul were not going to be together? And few people disagreed with me. I said, no. In Miz's head, everything is cool with him and Logan Paul. But in reality, Logan Paul, this is before even Logan Paul signed the contract. This was a heel in his head thinking everything's okay. In Sami Zayn's head, he thinks he's a member of the bloodline. And the Usos and Roman Reigns don't want nothing of it. So that's why they didn't help. You know, they're not going to acknowledge him. They'll acknowledge Roman. They're not going to acknowledge Sami. And as far as Liv, I don't think it was a bad roll-up. You wanted Ronda to lose without losing any credibility. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but if Liv hits the oblivion, that shows weakness in Ronda. Ronda had a bum leg, so the fruit roll-up, she couldn't kick out. That is more for injury. You don't want Ronda selling the oblivion. That's why they did it the way they did. Also, after Money in the Bank went off the air, Corbin attacked Pat McAfee. Well, that's the setup to SummerSlam. Listen, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I'll say this. Pat McAfee wrestling on SummerSlam, Logan Paul wrestling on SummerSlam, we're going to have like 12, 13 matches. Is it really a big deal that two matches feature less than part-time wrestlers? Pat McAfee is so good for WWE, and he's done outstanding, whether Adam Cole or the War Games or what he did at WrestleMania. Why would anybody in their right mind complain about Pat McAfee? I'm not even complaining that he's facing Corbin, because we're going to see Pat McAfee beat the shit out of Corbin. That's fine with me. You know Corbin's not getting off our TV, so it might as well be someone that we want to see him beat the shit out of. So McAfee, I'm fine. And Logan Paul did fine. Logan Paul signed a long-term deal, which we'll talk about tomorrow, and the guy is going to take it very seriously. I mean, his Instagram photo of him holding the contract is the most viewed WWE Instagram photo in history. The guy has got, what, tens of millions of people following him on YouTube? Do you realize the advertisement, the attention? There are going to be people who don't like wrestling who are going to watch SummerSlam just to see one of their favorites, Logan Paul, do what he does. When Bad Bunny makes his return, he's got billions of fans. You're going to have people that are going to tune in. It's like celebrity boxing, my friends. When celebrity boxing first came around, when some of the people that I followed here in New York, Joey Buttafuoco, anybody remember that guy's name, Joey Buttafuoco? I mean, he's a dirtbag, but, you know, back in the 90s, when you're in your 20s and you hear that he banged some girl in Long Island, you know, you're like, wow, kind of envious of that guy. I mean, obviously the girl was underage and, you know, it's Amy Fisher and the rest is here. Was she underage? I think she was. But the point is, when he was going to be in celebrity boxing, holy fucking shit, I got to see that. And he's going to fight China. So it's like celebrity boxing. Take someone in the entertainment world that you like, and you find out they're going to do celebrity boxing. There is a chance you may tune in just to see what one of your favorites does in a boxing ring. Same thing with wrestling. So, all right, we'll talk about it tomorrow, everyone. Be well. I tell you, it was good. We're still under 90 minutes tonight. I think we had a fun recap. We had a fun weekend, and it's not even over yet. This is only Saturday night. So I'm out of here. Everyone, have a great weekend. Have a great 4th. If you're around Sunday night, 8 o'clock, join me for a little while, and we'll continue this conversation then. So much love, everybody. Be well. You'll take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.